This week is Parshas Lech Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham, go. So, my first question, or my last question, the biggest question is, why does the Torah not tell us about the first Nisoyon? The first test, Avraham is tested, the Gemara says, with 10 tests. Everybody knows he was tested 10 times, and the last one, the greatest, the final, is the test of the Akedah, and he has to sacrifice his son. And the first test is being thrown into Ur Kasdim, thrown into the fire by Nimrod because he refuses to repent for having broken the idols and smashed the idols of his father and so on and so on. There's no hint of it in the Torah. There's nothing to tell us, only in the Medrash. And why is that? Why is that considered one of the tests if the Torah then doesn't tell us, you know? And in the past, wherever we find the first of 10 that isn't explicitly enumerated, then we're always talking about the Sefirah of Keser Elyon and, you know, the first of the 10 Mamorim, the 10 sayings with which the world is created. In the beginning God created heaven and earth. It's not a saying. It doesn't actually get said until Moshe says it. The first of the 10 commandments, not really a commandment. It says, I am the Lord your God. So whenever we're dealing with something that is beyond, so it comes in this way. But with Avraham Avinu and this test, why is it not mentioned? Unless we say that this test is the highest of the high, and you know, we were learning in Sefer Yetzirah, Yaakov Asher Pada Al Avraham, that Yaakov redeems Avraham. If not for Yaakov, who's later going to be born, then Avraham would have died in the Kivshan Eish, in this fiery furnace in Ur Kasdim, when Nimrod threw him in, because Avraham is Eina Mitzuvah, he's not commanded to give his life Al Kiddush Hashem in these circumstances, because he's not Jewish. So an Ben Noach, who just gives his life for no good reason, is not, you know, it's Chayv Misa. It's against the law. So yeah, so Avraham, who throws himself into the fire for the sanctification of the name of God, is good, going against the law, and doesn't deserve to live. And we did this whole learning, and it was clear. So how then do we now understand Avraham and this test being a mystery, unless we have to look at it inside out? The Medrash Tanchuma, anytime you learn Ishbitz, you start to become very familiar with Medrash Tanchuma, because the Ishbitz Rebbes, the Meir Shaloyach, the Bis Yaakov, and Neistesha, the Radzina, they work through each of these Midrashim again and again. The second Medrash this week is Rebrechia Posach. So Rebrechia opens up this Sedra saying, Ochis lo nikitano, we have a little sister, v'shadayim ein lo, and she has no breasts. And Posach from Shira Shirim. B'ma ha'kosu medaba, what's the verse talking about? So the Rebrechia says, Ba'avraham. So the verse in Song of Songs, it says, we have a little sister, is talking about Avraham. When Nimrod had him thrown into the blast furnace, Kitano, he was very little. Because God had not yet done any miracles for Avraham. So when you're small, when you're Hoshua, is complaining at God, you know, well, you brought us out of Egypt and now we're all going to die. Matas l'shimcha goda, what are you going to do for your great name? And Yehoshua is called, you know, the rich man who can speak with Azus. Because after you've had all the miracles done for you, then you're great. Why? Because everybody can see who you are and what you mean. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has planned for you. When the miracles haven't happened and you just are alone with your convictions, then you're considered small. So Avraham Avinu has still not managed to fulfill his mission, which is to proclaim the name of God in the whole world. So he's called the small. Why is he called the sister? We have a little sister. Lama nikra achos? She icho es ha'olam lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sewed the world together. He knitted it together for God. Ka'odam hazeh shekoireu u'me'achel. Like a person who tears and sews up. Lefikach nikra achos. So therefore he's called achos, sister, from the notion me'ache. Very interesting. Like a person who tears and sews. What does Avraham tear and sow? So, all these years we've been learning Me'er Shilach, the Ishbitzer, and you know, I feel like we could go back now to the Me'er Shilach and learn the whole Me'er Shilach again from start, scratch, and it'd be a completely different book. As we grow, the text changes. And he says, Avraham hirish es kol ha'olam. Avraham was like making thunder in the whole world, because Avraham was this super philosopher who was full of questions. That's the meaning of koire amanos litvor, to tear in order to mend. Right? That's the philosophical method, right? You ask a question in order to come at some kind of answer. Emuno, faith, doesn't work that way. The Torah doesn't work that way. We start with a text and we learn, and then we get deeper and deeper and deeper. We have questions, we answer, but that's not the method. Isn't to ask questions on God. As we learn the Torah, we find that, you know, we synthesize answers to questions we didn't even know we had. But Avraham Avinu didn't have the Torah. All he had was some understanding insight. It says, Ben Sholoy Shonim, Avraham was 3 years old, Hikir as Boiroi, he recognized his creator, and then it says he worshipped the sun, and he worshipped the moon, and he worshipped the earth, and he worshipped the stars. And so what does it mean? He recognized his creator if he then goes and worships the sun and the moon. Avraham Avinu understood that there is a creator. He understood that there's a creator, but when you're 3 years old, what does that mean? Is he one of the things that we don't really get from just the phrase Avraham Hikis Boira Avraham recognized his creators? We don't really get a picture of what Avraham is at 3 years old, unless we think, oh, a very precocious thinker, intellectual. That's not what it means. Avraham Avinu started to worship God when he was 3 years old. Avraham Avinu was just full of worship. And the meaning of the word avoido, you know, an eved is a slave, a servant. So then what is avoida that we call worship? We have to, you know, cross that barrier of these words to get a picture, like, what does it feel like when I'm in worship? What am I when I'm being worshipful? If I can understand what it means to be full of avoida, to be full of worship, means to be in that place of knowing the self and knowing the other. Or if I can't know the other, then at least that I want to know the other. I want to connect. When Avraham Avinu was 3 years old and he didn't have words yet to describe what he was feeling and what he was, what he desired and what he was, I mean, he was a three-year-old. Afil Ochi, he was full of Avoida. All he wanted to do was worship. He felt connected to the divine. You know, what can I say about Avraham Avinu? Only that every Yid can look inside himself and he will find Avraham Avinu there. There is inside us the Eved Hashem. There is inside us something very worshipful. So Avraham Avinu then turns to the sun as being full of Shefa and thinks, you know, this is the Shefa, this divine flow that comes, the heat, the light, the goodness, everything, this is it. And he worships it. Not that he worships the sun, but he wants to connect to the divine flow, which he sees as being in the sunlight, and then he sees that the sun defers, steps back, and makes room for the moon. Oh, so then the moon must be the greater Shefa. And then he sees that this is neither of them is this. So maybe it's the earth, maybe it's the heavens. So Avram goes through a process, intellectual process, which is connected, which springs from his worship, from his emotional, spiritual journey. And Avram becomes this, it's Tagninus Gedoyle, that he has this massive knowledge of science. Avraham Avinu is the greatest scientist. He's the great philosopher. He's the one who asks all the questions. You know, normally, we're asking questions, we get told, you know, be careful the questions, because if you put the questions into words, you know, you can be poigim, you're emuna, and you can... Avraham was at the level where he didn't care. He didn't think that anything could be poigim is emuna. He just had questions. Like the Rav Zina says, if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he writes the book of Job. You know, every question that you can possibly think on against God, Moshe Rabbeinu writes down in words in the book of Job and puts them, you know, pseudo-epigrammic into Job's mouth, and all the tarumos, all the complaints person could have against God, he puts and he says it out loud, and you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is not afraid that somehow this machshava zora is going to be damage him. Avraham Avinu is like that also. He goes around the world and he asks these philosophical questions, which, you know, the big one is the Medrash quotes him, Toimer she'en lebira manhig. What? The world has nobody in charge? Shall it be said that there's nobody in charge of the world? Ribbono shel Olam, you're in charge of the world. What is the matter with you? How come we walk around the streets and it's completely hefker? The lights are on, everybody's having fun, and you're nowhere to be found. What's the matter? And Avraham Avinu asks questions unlike Moshe Rabbeinu's questions in the mouth of Job, which are a response to suffering. Avraham Avinu he's not coming from that place. He's coming from the place of darkness of Ribbono shel Olam. Why is everybody walking around in such total darkness? Only because you're hiding yourself. Well, why are you hiding yourself? There's no good reason for it. There's no excuse. Well, that's what you want, that everybody should say that the world has got nobody in charge. It's a very challenging question that he asks God. And then we were learning over the years that God says to him, Lech Lecha. This is not for you a question. This is for somebody else a question. This is not for you. You have to go Lecha. You have to go to yourself to ask the question. And if you come to yourself, you see there's no question because you're asking the question. So the very fact that you alone are from the whole world are shouting out like this, you know, then it means I'm talking to you. I'm revealing myself to you. So stop complaining. I'm in charge of you because look, you're asking the question. See, the way the Ishbitzer sees it, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hits its olav, you know, is incensed and shows like this, rebukes Avram Avinu and says, you know, this is not a way. This is not a way to do your stuff. The Medrash here calls Avram Avinu Achois, the sister, because it's Loshem Me'acher, because he's tying, he's sewing together. Ka'odam hazeh shekoreya u'me'acher, like a person who tears and sews. So Avram Avinu's questioning is a way of tearing open, you know, removing the garment from creation and exposing, you know, the questions, and then sewing it back up again by telling people, and you know really what's going on, the Banishism is in charge. So why is it that Avram Avinu has to be rebuked into looking the other way, looking a different way, looking into himself rather than looking out to the world? And then, you know, over the years we've talked about the question that the Yid HaKodesh, the Holy Yid, asks the Rebbe Rabbinim of Pshischa. He says, what's your posuk? What posuk do you use when you need to like ground yourself and get centered? And he says, Su'u mora menechem, rumi bora ela, lift up your eyes and on high and see who created all this, which is often the verse that is quoted around Avraham Avinu. And the Yid HaKodesh says, Ech, it's a gonesh, it's a fagoy. This is past Faragoy. You know, you open your eyes, you look out, you see this. No, Ayid looks into himself. Ayid has a pusik, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekein Hashem Echad. Or did he say, Anoichi Hashem Elekecho? I am the Lord your God. The Lord your God, inside you. So, it doesn't say that the Rebbe Rabbinim, you know, apologized or withdrew, and you know he wants to insist that we leave room also for the other. But here, the way the Ishbitzer is reading, the way the Meir Shiloich is reading the Medrash, that this is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to Avraham Avinu, you know, stop looking out there and start looking inside. But there's a reason that Avram doesn't look inside. You see, because when Avram looks inside, he finds faults in himself that go to the mukar of who he is, to the very foundation of who he is, which if he asks those kind of questions, then he does feel it's going to be poigim his emunah. The flaws that Avram Avinu finds inside his own personality, inside his own self, they are so deep and so profound, miyom hivoldoi, that they're there from before he's born. So he's afraid to look at that, because then the question is, ma mechur keli zeh, then he's like saying to the craftsman, how ugly is this vessel, this pot that you've thrown? And Avraham Avinu, before he sets off on his philosophical journey, he says to himself, whenever I come across a question I can't answer, I'll blame myself. I've known people who they got into hakira, even though Greek philosophy was very much frowned upon in the yeshivas, because maybe it'll raise questions inside you, and this, and the better don't make hakira. So this guy makes chakira, but before he makes chakira, he says, if I come across a question, a philosophical question that seems to attack my emunah, then I make a tanai, I make a condition beforehand that I accept that my thinking, my logic must be at fault and is wrong. And so therefore, when I come to such a place where I have a big question, I will tell myself, oh, my thinking is wrong. On this tanai, I give myself permission to study philosophy. Avraham Avinu also had such an idea, but he felt that if he goes, like HaKadosh Baruch says, Lech Lecho, if he takes this route and he looks inside himself, some of the faults inside himself are so big that they're going to undermine his faith, because he understood, as he progressed, by the time he leaves Haran, he's 75 years old. He's gone from a 3-year-old to being a 75-year-old. He knows quite well that at this point he's the leading exponent of the monogamous, or the monotheistic faith in the world. Avraham Avinu knows who he is. He understands that he's chosen to tell the world about the one God. And Avraham Avinu is still in this worshipful self. He didn't become less worshipful as the years passed from being a 3-year-old. He became more worshipful, which is to say, he every minute, every waking minute, he wakes up in the morning and I'm Avraham, and I believe in Ribbono Shel Olam, the one. And I'm going to spend today telling the whole world and showing the whole world how to worship. But Avraham Avinu, when he looks inside himself, the Ishbitzer in Me'e Shiloach in Chelik Beis, he asks a good question. It says, the Gemara says, Avraham Avinu, he kept the whole Torah, even Erev Tavshilin, before it was given. So even those mitzvahs, which are really, you could almost say, derabbanan, he kept. Again, Erev Tavshilin, the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin is so that a person should boicha mona leyofa, boicha leymona yofa, the Shabbos, a person should be able to make something really nice for Shabbos. And if we didn't have permission to cook on Yontiv, that precedes Shabbos on Friday, then we wouldn't have something beautiful for Shabbos. And that the whole idea of preparing for Shabbos is something you have to prepare for. So the Erev Tavshilin is a way of empowering us to do preparation in Yontif. Avraham Avinu, he gets all that. He's empowered, he's gewaltigly empowered. No question about it. He's very evolved, no? If you're so evolved, how come you don't do Bris Milah? And here it is, the same thing, that Avraham Avinu is afraid to look at his body. Because if he looks at his body, if he looks at his sexuality, if he looks at his desires, if he looks at that part of himself, then it's so flawed that he comes to these questions again. Ma mechor keli zeh, how ugly is this vessel that God has thrown, this pot that God has thrown? And Avram doesn't have permission. So Avram's whole journey he's avoiding looking at himself. He's avoiding going that route. He's happy as a philosopher who can look at big questions. He can look out into the world and see, you know, why humanity is like it is, and why divinity is like it is, and why what needs to be fixed in the world, everything. But looking at Avraham Avinu and questioning what is wrong with Avraham Avinu, what needs to be fixed in Avraham Avinu, is afraid. Because there come the questions which are so big that he's afraid of them. And the Ishbitzer says that when Yishmael becomes 13 years old, Avraham looks at Yishmael and he can see, oy, nishdos, this is not what I meant, this is not what I wanted, this is not what, I was 3 years old, it's nearly 100 years ago, and I've been in this state of worship of God and discovery of God and working to let everybody know that there is a God. And if look at Yishmael. If Yishmael is like Yishmael is, then there's something wrong in my kelim. There's something wrong in my body that I made him. I have been avoiding all my life. I've been avoiding looking at myself because I'm afraid to admit that God made a mistake, or that God has been a little bit lax in quality control, and that there are things about me which they don't speak well of God. If God made me, and God made me, then why am I such a mess? So Avraham Avinu has avoided looking at himself like that. He says, but if I avoid looking at myself, look at what I produce here, my Yishmael. As soon as he came to this realization, the Rabbani Shalom says to him, Vayoyim Elikim El Avraham, Va'atu Es Brisi Tishmoer, Atu Vezaracha Achrecha Ledoy Reisam. Now it's time to make this bris, the bris milah. In other words, Avraham Avinu, he was afraid to go there. He was afraid to explore that whole region of how he is made. And so that's why he never realized, or he never wanted to admit, that there are things about the way that he's made that need to be fixed. But when he came to the realization, you know what? There were things that I was born with that are wrong, and then they need to be fixed. As soon as he came to that, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him the mitzvah of Mila. Because that's what the mitzvah of Mila is. There are things about you that you're born with that need to be fixed. It's a metaphor. And that if you don't fix them, then whatever it is that you produce in the world is not going to be fixed. So that's the end of the pasuk, Ochos lanu kitano, v'shodayim ein lo. She has no breasts, means that she's incapable of giving. She can enjoy, she can receive, but she can't teach the world, because she doesn't have with what. So Avraham Avinu cannot make children in his own image, or he cannot make another generation until he fixes his own generation. And when he realizes that, after looking at Yishmael as a bar mitzvah bocher and realizing what a mess, that's when a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him milah, because now you're ready. See, afterwards, the Medrash says, "Mi besori echaze aleika," that Avraham Avinu says, "From my flesh I see God," and If not from my Mila, where would I see? You see, this is not just something that happens after the Bris Mila. This is something that happens as the Bris Mila, and this Umi Bisori Echazer, from my flesh I see God, this is synonymous. They happen at the same time. Avraham Avinu has to realize that he has to look at his own flesh in order to see, and that is the difference between the philosophical approach and the Torah approach. That the philosophical approach is to look out at the world and su morim inechem urumi bara ela, lift up your eyes on high and look at the sky and look at the forest and look at everyone, see who created all this gewalt. That's the philosophical approach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, it's the wrong approach. But it takes him many years before he gets around to realizing, Mibasori Echaza, I can only learn what I need to learn from my own self. And the word Bosar, the Medrash Tan Belior, so the Yalkut brings it, the word Bosar Beis Sinreish stands for Busho Srucho Rimo. Busho is shame, Srucho is smell, and Rimo is worm. So to say Mibasori Echaze, from my flesh I see, and to think that this means, oh, after Avraham Avinu has done the Bris Milah, now his body is whole, his flesh is good, now he can see God, that's missing the point. Mibasori Echaze, the word Basar, flesh, which has the connotation of shame, which is dealing with the past, and Sirchon, the smell which deals with the now in the place. And then there's Rimo, which deals with the future, the worm. So my body is the only access that I really have. And Avraham Avinu, until he crosses over from philosopher to Yid, and this is what the Yid HaKodesh is saying to the Rebbe Rabbinim, you have to get away from looking out and you have to start looking at yourself. And basar, yeah, it doesn't just mean the holy flesh. It means busho, srucho, rimo. It means all the ugly parts. That is where you're going to learn the Torah of yourself. So discovering God from looking outwards is very nice, but that's the chelik of the goy, the chelik of the yid, of which we are yidden because we are descended from Avraham Avinu, and this, we're only Yidden because we're descended from Avraham Avinu. Everything that you learn has to be from the Torah. And in Ishbitz they would say that anything that you learn that doesn't come to you from the Torah, or any decisions that you make that are not coming out of a Torah decision, there's going to be the wrong one, it's going to be the wrong message, you're going to learn the wrong thing. And you know, learning this medrash, learning this sedra, you begin to understand what the Ishbitzer means. What does it mean when you learn things through Torah? When you make decisions through Torah, it means psori echze, that you learn things from your own experiencing in your own body, in your own flesh, and that from seeing your own chisroinos. From seeing where it is that you need to be fixed, and where it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made you in certain ways that just don't fit with the world. Out of that comes your Torah. That's the only way that you can learn